So we continue on the series of lessons. If my memory serves me right, the passage I gave was Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 2 through verse 7. That was the one that was read, okay. As I keep pointing out over the past 2 weeks, and even now, that the "but God" phrase or the "but God" alternative introduces the divine, the heaven alternative to whatever the human or the natural existing reality was, whatever was going on, whatever was on display, whatever man had planned and was carrying out. The "but God" introduces God's agenda. And God's agenda usually comes with either blessing, depending on those who are involved, or it comes with terrible consequences. It works both ways. But it's usually depending on the characters that are involved. One of the areas that I want to touch on this morning is that "but God," there is no area that the "but God" has made as dramatic a transformation and change as in the change and transform human life. There is no area where we have seen the "but God" use, where the dramatic transformation is as great as that which takes place in human life. Just briefly, we all remember Peter. Peter, if I describe Peter as being rough, no nonsense, impatient, cursing, yes. When you put Peter's back to the wall, he would use words that are people's better days, they do not use. But Peter was like that. It was impatience and impulsiveness that made Peter pull out his sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ears. And keep in mind, all this was done while Peter was a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, I may just drop along here the answering the question that was asked some weeks ago, where I have a lesson on it Sunday night past. And I'm sure those who were here profit from it. I'm going to have one more lesson tonight on that, to complete that point. And there are things to learn as I just touch on Peter, that it's while Peter, in fact, there were situations where Peter really saw how ungodly he was. Let us run to the passage of Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 8. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 8.
Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night.
All night we have toiled. We have covered that area. We have thrown our net in that area probably many times.
And have taken nothing.
We didn't catch any fish there.
Nevertheless, at thy
word. That's another very important phrase in the Bible. Nevertheless. And one of the time we will have probably one or two lessons. Nevertheless, and especially this nevertheless, you're very important. Nevertheless, in other words, there are a lot of things we would mind not doing, but for the fact that Jesus Christ wants it done. That's what this nevertheless is about. Nevertheless,
at thy word.
You get it? At thy word.
I will.
Because you said it, Jesus Christ. Wait, this should make all the difference to people who claim that they are religious. But for many men and women, when they have certain ideas, certain belief, they will hold on those ungodly, false belief. It matters not what. We must always remember that if we hold on to something that we hold on to strongly, when Jesus Christ brings redirection, we should obey Jesus Christ. Nevertheless,
at thy word.
At thy word.
I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude. And their net break.
And their net break.
And they beckoned unto their partners.
Ask their fellow fishermen, come and help us reap.
Which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me.
you know, when a man that has the power Jesus Christ had to have directed them to throw the net and for them to have caught so much fish, Peter recognized that it's no ordinary person in whose company he was. Peter recognized, watch here, the holiness of Jesus Christ, the divinity of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ. And that helped Peter to recognize his own sinfulness, his own frailty, his own limitation. Wait, Peter recognized that he was not worthy to be in the company of a person like Jesus Christ. What he said?
Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.
Yeah. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Peter was sinful. The glorious thing is, Peter recognized that he was sinful. Sometimes the most ungodly person feel that they and God slept in the same king-size bed last night. Peter recognized his own sinfulness. We won't read this, but in the book of St. John chapter 18, verse 10, it's recorded where he's cut off the high priest's servant's ears. And man, if you drew your sword to cut a man, you're not going for a man's ears. That's right. It's not logical that Peter was just trying to cut off the man's ears. From all indication, he was going for the man's neck. That's right. Mark you, he was a follower of Christ. I'm showing the rough, no-nonsense, impatient, impulsive, cursing Peter. We all know the situation as recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 26 from verse 69 to 74. We are some three times, wait, after following Jesus Christ, for some 2 or 3 years, the man's courage failed. Just weeks or so before this, Peter would almost swear to Christ that he would not only follow him to whatever, but he would die for him. And here is it now, the test came. You see, there are situations under which we are unpredictable. A lot of times because we have not gone through that experience before. And here is it. Peter got the chance to live up to his conviction and he failed, and he got the chance a second time and he denied Jesus Christ, and he got the chance a third time, and this time so as to convince those who were accusing him of being a follower of Christ, he made sure he used the convincing language. That's right. You don't want Peter to tell you those words. That's Peter. That's the Peter then. Huh? But look on the Peter in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 6 through 13. Remember the point we are on, that there is no area that but God has made as dramatic a transformation and change as we have seen it does in transform, change human lives. Peter, let us hear him.
And Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?"
Peter and his company, they were simply preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. They were preaching New Testament truth in respect to what Christ has done for man's salvation. The world waited for Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. From the Almighty God created man and man's sin, it has been God's preoccupation to guide the world in a particular direction until the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, was born. And Peter was telling them this, that this Christ, the same one you crucified, read on, brother.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people.
You rulers of the people.
And elders of Israel.
And elders of Israel.
If we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man.
Now, watch here. Watch here. Peter was before some of the same people, or at least outside of where they were trying Jesus Christ. Christ is not being tried in that direct way here, but these are some of the same high court Jewish official called the Sanhedrin Council. It was at the building where these men were seated that Peter denied Christ. When the young women came and identified him, that was just probably months previous to this. And here now he got the chance again. The first time he failed. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, what we gather, he learned from that failure. Now the man had become a spiritual giant for Jesus Christ. He was no more afraid. He was bold, speaking to the same Sanhedrin council in a more direct way. The first time, it was to one or two young ladies who came outside of where they were trying Jesus Christ. This time, he was right directly in their presence, being tried, questioned by them. Read on, brother.
If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all.
Be it known unto you all.
And to all the people of Israel.
And to all the people of Israel.
That by the name of Jesus
that
Christ.
That by the name of Jesus Christ means by the power, by the authority, by the directive of Jesus Christ.
Of Nazareth. Whom ye crucified.
The same one whom you crucified.
Whom God raised from the dead.
The same one who did not stay dead.
Even by him.
Even by that same Jesus Christ.
Doth this man stand here before you whole? This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders.
Notice how directly he spoke. This is the stone that was set at naught, not simply by the builder, you the builder. He's quite direct here with conviction and courage. Read, brother.
This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name.
You know this? If you men that are trying me become my company because we preach Christ, if you're ever going to stand right before the Almighty God, it's by this same man who you have crucified.
Amen.
That's courage. But what we are looking at is the change that had come in this man's life. Read on.
Neither is there salvation.
There is salvation in no other name.
Amen.
You know, people quite often speak this foolishness, this ignorance, that there's nothing in a name. There is something in a name for God. Amen. And there's something in a name for us. Amen. Because if ever we are going to stand right before God, it will be through Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
That's the change, transform Peter. The same Peter who used curse word, expletive, listen him in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. Let us hear it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And whole chapter 4, verse 11.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus.
Is that 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2?
1 Peter 1.
2, 1 and 2.
Wherefore laying aside all malice. And all guile. And hypocrisy.
Wait. Guile include the bitter, hard things that we speak. Guile.
And hypocrisies. And envies. And all evil speakings.
Don't speak evil. That would imply don't use wrong word. Don't use expletive. That's Peter, the same man who used curse word to deny Jesus Christ. Change had come in Peter's life. But that change was brought about by the but God. You finish verse 2?
And envies. And all evil speaking. As newborn babes,
we should desire the sincere milk of the word. Look at chapter 4 and verse 11.
If any man speak. Let him speak as the oracles of God.
Peter sure did not speak as God's oracle when he used some of the words he used out of the Sanhedrin council hall. If any man speak, let him speak as God's declaration. We have a changed, transformed person here in Peter. But in Saul, more so than others, we see the dramatic transformation in Paul's change and transform life. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1, 8, 1 through verse 3, Acts. That's right, 1 through 3, and another brother learned. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. We are looking on lives that have been changed and transformed through the but God, or but the Lord, or but Christ. Let us hear 1 Peter. Acts rather, chapter 8, verse 1 through 3.
And Saul was consenting unto his death.
Wait, it doesn't mean Saul was consenting to his own death. It's talking here about Stephen, the evangelist. Saul, who became Paul, was the one encouraging the crowd along the way of murder. He sat there, and when they pull off their garment that was made with the seam that it was easily pulled and thrown one side, which was a sign of wrath and vexation, Paul was the one who collected the garment that was thrown aside when they were stoning people who believe in Christ. Read, brother.
And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church.
A great persecution against the church. What church? The church of Christ. Read.
Which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial.
You see, he was stoned to death. Who was there? Saul, who became Paul. We are talking about the change and transformation that the but God bring about. What verse is that, brother?
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church.
He made havoc of the church.
Entering into every house.
He entered into every house.
And hailing men and women.
Men and women, there was no sympathy even for the women.
Committing them to prison.
Do we all hear that? How could the Almighty God choose such a man for such a job as representing Christ? But that's the man. In fact, let us hear, that was verse 3. Let us hear 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 through 15.
Who was before?
No. This is the same Saul confessing from his own mouth. In Acts, what we have just read, that was Luke telling us about Saul's ungodly action. But in Timothy here now, we have Paul telling it himself. He said previously,
who was before? A blasphemer.
I was a blasphemer.
And a persecutor.
I was a persecutor.
And injurious.
I injure people.
But I obtained mercy because I did.
Wait. Brother Mitchell, I don't see any but God there. So when him talk about mercy, who is that talking about? God. Christ. You see, that contrast between being a persecutor, being an injurious person, and all of that. But then, the change, but I obtain mercy, meaning, but God, through Jesus Christ, enter the picture. What he said more about that, but God, but mercy, brother.
But I obtained mercy.
I obtained mercy.
Because I did it ignorantly.
Read.
In unbelief. And the grace of our Lord.
Here again, when he talks about grace, it's all about the Almighty God action in Jesus Christ to lead us to him. To be patient with us. To give us the necessary guidance to transform our lives. What verse is that? 14? Read on.
And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant.
You hear again these adjective use. It was not just abundant. How can God's grace be abundant? Because some of us receive more grace than others. That's a fact, even now. That's right. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. It's not only unmerited, meaning you didn't work for it. It is undeserved. You don't deserve it. And Paul says God's grace towards him was what?
Exceeding abundant.
It was enough. And the enough was exceeding. That's grace. And that is from God. Brothers and sisters, look. That's verse 15.
Verse 14.
Go on a little more.
With faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is a faithful saying.
This is a faithful saying.
And worthy of all acceptation.
What he said, worthy of all acceptation. He said you can accept it. You can live by it. You can use it to guide your life. You can use it as an example of the abundant grace of God that is available to us. He said that Jesus Christ came into the world
to save sinners.
To save sinners. Now don't go to God telling him how nice and how holy and how righteous you are. Huh? Christ came into the world to save sinners. You know, of all the things that a man want to say, I am top ranking. I am chief. Huh? But that's exactly what he said. Read it now, brother.
That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Huh? That's humility, you know. That's humility. We tend to want to impress our fellow men with how holy and righteous we are. And we tend to even want to impress the Almighty God. That's not the right attitude. Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, I am chief. Ladies and gentlemen, look at Philippians chapter 2. May I just pause here a minute to encourage you. When you look at Peter, the previous Peter to the final Peter, when you look at Saul, no doubt the man's name had to be changed from Saul to Paul. The previous Saul to the change Paul. You see, this is encouraging to say to you and me that whatever your moral or spiritual or sinful situation, if you will permit the Almighty God through Jesus Christ to take control of your life, even you can be surprised what God can make out of you. That's right. That's right. If you will just give Jesus Christ a chance. When you look on both Peter and Paul, and there are many others, the change, the transformed lives that has been brought about by the but God or by the grace of God. Let us look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 27.
Yet, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, by your messenger, and he that ministereth to my wants, for he lodged after you all.
He longed after you all. Paul writing to the Christian at Philippi. He wanted to send Epaphroditus to minister to them, but there is a reason he was unable to do that. Read on, brother.
For he lodged after you.
He longed after you, which means Epaphroditus loved God's people, including the Philippians Christians. He wanted to be of service to them.
Amen. And was full of heaviness.
He was full of heaviness.
Because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick.
For truly he was sick.
Nigh unto death.
Close to death. Watch here now. He was sick. That's why he was unable to come by and serve you. Amen. As I wanted. He was sick. Close to dying. Amen. Read, brother.
But God.
Stop there. But God. Are we there? It is the but God that made all the difference here. The Almighty God healed this man so that he was able to come back up on his feet and serve Paul and serve the church. Application. This is telling us that in our different challenges of life, in our physical, in our economical, in our cares, in our temptation, in all the daily challenges of life, never think that you are alone if you're a child of God. But God. When God entered the pictures, wait. I said to you last week or the previous week, the but God is not applicable only in ancient times. The but God is applicable today. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? You and I, when we come upon our challenges of various types, they may come in the form of sickness. They may come in the form of money problem. They may come in the form of marital or home problem. They may come in the form of different challenges. This but God, where God entered the picture to have his alternative take control, it is still going on. Whatever the challenge in your life, if you are serving God and you are sincere, don't ever think that God has abandoned you. You see, brothers and sisters, there are a lot of things that your fellow human being run from. Even when they wish you the best. But as human being, their courage and their wherewithal fail. God no run from anything. But God. Look. That is our daily challenges. In whatever area of whatever sort. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, 7 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, 7 through 10. But God. Let us hear it.
Casting all your care upon him.
You notice what the passage says? Casting some of your care upon him. Huh?
All your care.
God must be great to be able to accommodate all the cares of all his people throughout the world. But he is a great God. Casting all your care upon him. Watch here now.
For he careth for you.
For he cares for you. Brother Mitchell, that was when Peter wrote. No. That was so then, but it is so today also. God still cares for his people. And you must always be mindful of that, whatever you are going through. Read on, brother.
Be sober.
Be sober.
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant.
Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren.
You see, let's talk about what the Christians were going through. And what he's reminding Christians of all ages is that never confront these challenges feeling that you're alone. In fact, do you know that when you have somebody, when you recognize and believe that somebody is there going through it with you, you deal with them better? That is a fact. I always illustrate when I was going to school, you know, picnic fight. I was usually taller than my peers, but I was afraid to fight. I like to run, play. But one of the things that always gave me courage was, I told you about this man, he spent years in England, now live in Washington Garden. I was bigger than he is in size, but as my parents used to say, I'm just bigger and so. Surely. But when I am on the school compound in Poros, all the bad guy them who would bring fight to me, I was never afraid because Herbie was there. Truly. He was there, and then he was cruel. Just knowing that he was at school today made me walk calm. For us to go through life, and we will come many challenges. Many undesirable things will come our way. Just knowing that Jesus Christ cares and is there with you will help you deal with them better. What verse you start, brother?
Verse 9.
Read.
Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace.
Here again, but the God. You see, that makes all the difference. The man is talking about challenges, sickness, temptation, needs, wants. But he's reminding them, don't forget that God is with you. But God, the God of all grace. We must remember that. May I? I want to point out something here for you to keep in mind. The Almighty God does not always bring deliverance the way we want. It's very important that we understand this. You may want a job, and you'd mind if you get a job uptown. But God may provide a job downtown. You might be sick, going through a series of illness. You pray to God and you believe in Him. May I drop something by here? The Almighty God may choose not to heal you, and not to heal you yet. Are we all there? Watch me now. Run with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, and verse 7 through verse 9.
And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
Watch here now. We read above that he had prayed to God. Notice here. Three times he had gone to God on different occasions to heal him. Who was it? Paul. Jesus' greatest weakness, as far as we know. And this man had a problem. It was a physical illness. He prayed to God three times. And what, read what God says somewhere there.
The verse below. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Mm-hmm. That it might depart from me.
That this illness may depart from him.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Even with the illness that you have, with my grace, you can deal with that illness.
Amen.
It's not God. It's not that God will promise to heal it, you know. It's that God is saying you can live with it.
Amen.
And you will in no way be diminished by that illness. Because we said, if Jesus Christ is in the vessel, you can smile at the star. There's a lot of times when, the Almighty God have to cripple us in order to crown us. We see this in Joseph. The Almighty God wanted to send Joseph to Egypt to feed not only the then world in the Middle East, but to feed the house of Jacob. And my God, I always refer to that as the rigmarole that the man went through. May I? Those rigmarole was not of God's making. It was Satan, but God permitted it. He was hated by his own blood brothers. He was sold as a slave by them more than once. He was lied on by his employer's wife. When he went into prison, his prisoner friend forgot him when he got out. And all of this, the Almighty God, in a sense, permit his crippling in order to crown him. So for us, many times God cripple us so as to crown us. Is it in weeks to come, months to come, years to come, or even in eternity? But God will reward. In Joseph, we see where he can say, I was crippled to be crowned. Ladies and gentlemen, the last passage, remember that whatever your physical, economical, or other challenges, Jesus Christ encouraged us to cast all our cares up on him. In fact, just briefly, quickly, just read it. I will refrain from much comment. And that is Genesis 45, verse 7 through 8. Quick, brother.
And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance.
To save your life. In other words, how this man, may I, we're coming down to the, you know, in Egypt, where he was made to forget all the evil that had been done to him by various people, including his own brothers. What one gathered, it seems as if Joseph's mind was still diehard. He was still thinking back at his father's home and his brothers. To the extent that when they came to Egypt to buy grain and food, they were not the one who recognized him. It was he who recognized them. But what struck me is the fact that for some reason, the man did not let go of his God. All what he went through. Because in all, this man, I have the phrase where when a person goes through a lot, I said the person go through hell barehead. Well, Joseph went through hell barehead. Yet he never forget God and his loyalty to God. So this man, he recognized that it was not so much the evil that his brothers did to him. He saw in it the working of the Almighty God. Read it, brother.
And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God.
Stop there. But God again. You see, that but God made all the difference. That but God exalted him to be the minister of finance in Egypt. That but God exalted him to earn the respect and the fear of Pharaoh. But God is capable of accomplishing so much for us. Crippled to be crowned. We're going to stop here. I'm tempted to run to the passage of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 through 5, but I'm going to close here. Probably in some months to come, we may have another two or three lessons looking on some more but God. But God makes all the difference. But God is not relevant only to the past. The Almighty God is entering the picture of various situations today on behalf of his people. And as I've said in this lesson, we remind you that whatever your sinful, your moral, whatever your ungodly situation, invite Jesus Christ in your life because Christ makes all the difference. But he wants you to invite him in your life. As we have said last week, even the difficult situation that we face, a lot of time it is God's way of making us wiser to what life is about. We usually come out of many situations that bring tears to our eyes. We usually come out wiser, stronger, more experienced, and in a better position, not only to deal with those same things when they come in the future, but in a better position to help guide and advise others. But God, it makes all the difference. Today you can invite Jesus Christ in your life through the condition which he has set for your salvation. Yes, you don't become a Christian just so. You don't become a Christian the way you like and the way you see things. You become a Christian Jesus' way. And you know what? Jesus Christ have specifics that must be accepted and submitted to. Today, if you're not a child of God, you can submit to Jesus' condition for salvation. It includes hearing the truth of the gospel, and you have heard. You have heard today, and probably many other times, that Jesus Christ went to Calvary to pay the price for your sin. If only one message you have heard on that point, it would have been enough to save you and enough to condemn you. But just hearing doesn't make one a Christian. You must believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And you said, Mr. Mitchell, I believe. But you must not stop at belief. Your belief must be of such that it drives you, it pushes you to repent. That's right. If you just stop at belief, the Bible says faith, which is belief without works, is dead. Faith needs to have the works of obedience. And that obedience means you must repent of your sin. You must be willing to confess Jesus' name. And you must be baptized in order to be saved. Those conditions were set by God from before the world was created. They are outlined in the gospel. So as we now stand to sing, if you would like to invite Jesus Christ in your life, to guide your life, to be your companion and friend, you only need to step forward. We will talk with you further. If you have backslidden, you need to acknowledge before God and the church your backsliding and to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Christ is ready. We are ready to help you. You should also be ready right now as we stand.